Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you remember Zsa Zsa Gabor? She was a glamorous Hollywood celebrity in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and a big TV personality in the 80s and the 90s. She died in 2016, but before she died, she famously married 9 times. 9. Our gospel this morning is a Zsa Zsa Gabor gospel. The story is extravagant, over the top, almost absurd. It feels Hollywood tabloid ready in its outrageousness. A woman marries 7 different men, all brothers, and she and her husband die childless. In heaven, whose wife will she be? The crux of this question, it's about the afterlife and how God manages the complexities and heartbreak of this world. How does God create grace and order, everlasting love, and everlasting peace from the tragic and absurd realities of life? Can we count on being with the people we love after we die? These questions are profoundly important questions. But before we talk about how Jesus answers them, we have to talk about why the Sadducee ask them. The Sadducee, the people who ask the question, they don't believe in resurrection or the afterlife. Our gospel's first sentence tells us that. The Sadducee's question is really malicious and manipulative. Their question is disingenuous. They're trying to trap Jesus and make him look foolish in front of the big listening crowd. They're taking an over-the-top example of a dead woman with 7 dead husbands and asking a fake question, hoping Jesus is going to trip and stumble and that his answer will highlight the illogic and absurdity of any belief in the resurrection or in the afterlife. And the reason the Sadducee are gunning for Jesus, the reason the Sadducee are taking on Jesus in the first place is because Jesus has become a force to reckon with. Today's gospel set in Jerusalem, in Jesus' 3rd year of ministry, just a few days before the Passover. He's already worked miracles, performed healings, raised a little girl from the dead, turned over the money changers' tables in the temple, and taught with authority in the synagogue. By now, everyone has begun to wonder about who this Jesus is. Rumors are going around. Some say he's a great prophet. Some say he's Elijah, resurrected from the dead. Some say he's the Messiah. So the Sadducees want to make a public spectacle of him and humiliate him. So they ask him an impossible question, a question they think is impossible to answer. Jesus and the Pharisee do believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus has no time or patience for people who want to play games. So in our gospel this morning, Jesus has wit and wisdom enough to make quick work of the Sadducees' mischief. He tells them that their vision of heaven is too literal and too limited, much too small. They've asked the wrong question and gotten stuck in their mistrust of divine love and their mistrust of divine power. He tells them that they have underestimated God. In our gospel, Jesus tells us that resurrection is real and that all of us will be somehow gathered in love and harmony together in an afterlife. He tells us that we cannot die anymore because we will be like angels then, and we will be children of God. It sounds very comforting. I finally realized why this weird story is in Luke's gospel. For completely different reasons, the Sadducees' questions are our questions too. Is resurrection real? Will we be reunited with the people that we love after death? I can tell you that I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I can tell you that Jesus believes the answer to both questions is yes. But I also have to tell you that sometimes I have my doubts. Jesus is 100% divine and 100% human. And he has no doubts. But you and I, we're only 100% human. 100% biodegradable. 100% finite in the embodied life that we're living right now. How can we not have our doubts? There's so much at stake. We miss the people that we love so much. We aren't trying to trap Jesus the way the Sadducees were, but it can be so hard to trust, so hard to believe. We're left with our own experiences of death and with Jesus' promise. Some deaths are hard and some deaths are easy. And I don't know why that happens. But when I'm doubting or worried about the people that I love, I remember my grandmother's deaths. My grandmother Esther died when I was 10. She was traveling in Afghanistan when there was a plane crash. And she was alive and unhurt when they took her off the plane. But she had angina. And her heart couldn't withstand the crash. Her traveling companion told us that she saw Esther lying on a stretcher and making the sign of the cross, forehead, breastbone, right shoulder, left shoulder, just before she died. And my grandmother's faith, just before she died, makes my faith stronger. Elizabeth died when I was 34, and I wish I'd been with her when she died, but I wasn't. I didn't even know that she was sick. I remember going to bed that night, and then the phone rang at about 1 a.m., and I woke up and I answered the phone on the first ring, and I said, almost without thinking, "I know why you're calling. Nani died." And she had. And I don't know why I immediately knew that, but I did. And somehow that fact makes my faith stronger too. I experienced something beyond logic that night, something like a profound kind of love before grief caught up with me. Jesus said, "Indeed, they cannot die any more, because they are like angels, and they are children of God. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that he might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and inheritors of eternal life, grant that having this hope, we may purify ourselves as he is pure, that when he comes again in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen."